Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Come on, clap your hands tonight. Listen.
And my race has been won. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
When I've done my best and withstood the ultimate test, heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
Jesus went away to prepare a place for me. And when he comes again, that's where I'll spend eternity. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is
the way. Listen here. The time is growing now, when I must bid this world goodbye. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
The Lord is coming back. It's gonna be soon and past the plan. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
This is where we're going, y'all. Listen. For the streets are made of gold, the gates are made of pearl. There'll be nothing but joy for me when I leave this old world. Heaven
is waiting.
Heaven is waiting, y'all.
Heaven is waiting.
I said heaven is waiting for me, yeah.
Heaven is waiting.
I can't wait to get there, no.
Heaven is waiting.
Listen here. I'll be free from pain and misery. From hurt and strife, going where there's no despair, and there I'll have new life. Trying to live right every day and every night, 'cause heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
Yeah, listen. The Savior will see when I just bow down at His feet. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting.
Yeah.
Are you ready? You ready to go to heaven? Hallelujah. Woo, we give God the glory and give him the praise and give him the honor for all that he is doing in our lives. So we just want to just thank God today for another day and for saving our souls so that we can make it into heaven. Amen. So we just thank God for those of you who has tuned in on tonight. We praise God for you, and we pray that God will continue to bless you and keep you and motivate you as you go forward on tomorrow to your various churches. We thank you. My name is Ann Butterfield. We are Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are the assistant pastors at the Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia. And we are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge. The phone number there is 678-565-7001. We have our service times on Wednesday. We have noonday Bible study, and also we have 7 p.m. Bible study. On Sunday mornings, we have 8 a.m. service and also 10:45 a.m. service. So come out and share with us. Sunday school is at 9:45 on Sunday. So come on out and share with us. You will not regret coming out and sharing with us at the Light of the World. Our leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, our lead pastor, Bishop Kevin Jones, and our worship arts leader is Pastor Secrete Osla. And we are all on fire for God. Amen. So we thank you all for tuning in tonight. We have a great show that is planned for you on tonight. I want to share with you concerning a youth financial literacy program that is going to be going on at the Jimmy Lee Smith Community Center, which is right next door to the Light. And this will start on September the 21st at 10 a.m. These are Saturday sessions, and these sessions will go for 6 weeks. So we want you to bring your children out. We are catering to elementary and middle schoolers and their parents. But this program, it is for anybody because we are going to be dealing with learning how to manage your money. So adults and young adults, old adults, all of us can learn. But we're trying to also catch this generation that is just coming up, and so that they can learn how to save, budget their money, use their credit wisely, and know how to make investments. So we want you to, I'm going to get you a pencil and paper. I want you, if you have some children or some young adults or even yourself that need to come out to this workshop, which is starting on September the 21st. At 10 a.m., and it will be at the Jimmy Lee Smith Community Center, which is the same address as our church, 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. If you need some additional information concerning this, you can call the center number at 678-565-7099. That's 678-565-7099. Now, the registration, I want you to write this down, is, let me see here, is www.georgiaexcel.com/financialli. TERACY. That is Georgia Excel Financial Literacy. So that's www.georgiaexcel.com/financial literacy. okay? And it will be at the Jimmy Lee Smith Community Center. We are so glad that you have tuned in tonight, because there is a word in the house for you on tonight. My husband had another engagement tonight, so I'm just standing in by myself tonight to do the broadcast. But I want to share with you before the woman of God come with the word of God. I have a scripture here that I wanted to share with you from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and it is be angry and sin not. It's the fourth chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is God, that they may have to give to him that is in need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And so that gives us a clear understanding that God forgives us. So in his word, he is asking us to forgive other people. And so we have to live a life of forgiveness. So I want to make sure that you have that scripture on tonight. And we know that this is going to be an awesome night in the Lord, because this woman of God, she is ready and able to bring forth the word. So we know that the word of God is going to come forth. I want you to go on and get your pencils and your paper so that you will be able to write down these scriptures and write down notes so that you can go back and study it. Also, you can go back to this broadcast and listen to it at a later date. All right? So tonight, our speaker is going to be Minister Nichelle Ford. And if you would go on and press 1 on your phone, I will bring you live on the air tonight, Minister Nichelle. She is an awesome teacher, and she knows how to bring forth this word. So we are going to bring her forth, and she will go on and introduce herself as she comes forth. Minister Nichelle Ford. You are now live, Minister Nichelle. Hello? You there? I can't hear you.
Hello, Pastor Ann?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh,
I hear you.
Hey. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me this evening.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity always to be on with you all. And I, like you, my husband also is not available as well. And so it looks like the women are holding it down this evening for God. Amen.
Yes, we're gonna hold it down tonight.
Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to jump right in, and I'm going to ask that everyone please get your Bibles. I will be reading this evening from the New King James Version, and I would like to begin, as I always do, and ask that you repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God.
My Bible is the Word of God.
The Word of God is truth.
The Word of God is truth.
Truth can never be a lie.
Never be a lie.
So whatever God says.
or whatever God said,
come to pass.
Come to pass.
Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to ask at this moment that everyone open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I will be reading verses 2 through 13. Again, that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 through 13. And it reads as follows. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even as we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict.
Mm-hmm.
For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preached to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. And you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe.
Amen.
The word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
Now I ask you, please bow your heads and pray with me. Oh God, our most gracious Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We come again this evening, first giving you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to allow us to come together once again in order to share and experience your word. Touch your servant, God, the one who humbly comes to bring a message to your people.
Yes.
Allow the Holy Spirit to come forth in order that I may speak to the heart of your people and to have me say what you believe needs to be said.
Yes,
touch your people in order that they may hear what needs to be heard. We love you, Lord, and we bless you, Lord, tonight and always. And let us all say amen.
Amen.
So this evening, brothers and sisters, I would like to speak to you on the topic, going back to the basics.
Oh.
Again, the topic, going back to the basics.
All right.
The book of Thessalonians was actually a letter which was written by Paul in Thessalonica around 49 to 51 A.D.
Mm-hmm.
During this time when he was in his second missionary journey.
Mm.
Because Paul was so impressed by the faithfulness of the Thessalonians in the
mm-hmm.
face of their own persecution, he wrote to encourage the Christians in that community with the goal that they would continue to grow in godliness.
Right.
He knew that the people had been exposed to wrong teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that came from the Jews who were in opposition to the way of Jesus Christ and the grace
right.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
He also understood that unless the young church continued to mature in its faith, the danger would only increase over time. So keeping that in mind, Paul taught the people that any spiritual growth that they should gain should ultimately be motivated by their hope in the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when Paul wrote to them, or any time that Paul wrote, you have to notice that he never was interested in simply telling people you need to pull yourselves up by your bootstraps.
Uh-huh.
Because ultimately, he knew that what would inspire change would be a life of consistently walking in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
A group of new believers, or the young Christians in that time, there were many questions and uncertainties. And Paul offered in this letter the hope of Christ's return, thinking
mm-hmm.
that it would provide comfort in the midst of their questioning and motivate them to live a godly or Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
And these were the basic ideas that Paul wanted the Thessalonians to understand.
Right.
To live a life consistently walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and also the hope, having the hope of Christ's return.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Thessalonica was one of the first cities that Paul and Silas evangelized in Europe. It was Paul's vision that was told about in the book of Acts that drew them both to Macedonia. So after
mm-hmm.
preaching Philippi, they traveled 100 miles to Thessalonica, which was also one of the wealthiest trade areas of the Roman Empire, and it had a population of about 200,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But because of its strategic location, Paul knew that it would become an evangelistic hub and that it would be very key in spreading the gospel to Macedonia and Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Back in chapter 1, we can find that Paul started this Thessalonian church by preaching there for 3 Sabbath days within the synagogue.
Yeah.
While he was there, he was very successful, not only with the conversion of Jews, but also with conversion among the Greeks.
Yes.
And there were many Jews who were not accepting of Paul's message. In
mm-hmm.
fact, they were very envious of his connection to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, they began to rally a group of men, and they hired them in order to attack him.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, he and Silas had to go into hiding.
Right.
And they did so at the house of a man named Jason.
Mm.
Eventually, the Jews came to Jason's home looking for Paul, and he too, Jason, ended up being before the magistrate for treason for harboring a fugitive who was teaching about that man Jesus being
mm-hmm.
the one true king.
Right.
Eventually, Jason was sent free, But Paul and Silas thought it was best at that time to leave. And so they left, and they went to a town called Berea.
Mm-hmm.
While they were there, they also were received very well there. But when those same Jews, or I'll call them pot stirrers, as we know, those same Jews in Thessalonica heard that they were there, they went to Berea to also cause trouble for them.
Mm.
Paul and Silas went on, and they continued to travel to Corinth and to Athens. But because the church of Thessalonica contained new believers, Paul became very concerned for them.
Mm-hmm.
After Paul left the city of Thessalonica, some of the people who belonged to the church died. And because Jesus had not returned, serious doubts began to arise in the minds of those Thessalonians who were still living.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought, and they had been led to believe, that Jesus the Messiah would be returning before any of them died.
Right.
So
right.
As far as they were concerned, they began to think that Paul made a mistake on this point. And it caused them to wonder whether or not he might have made a mistake on other points that he spoke about as well.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, there was an explanation that needed to happen. And in this situation, more than any other single factor for Paul, it prompted him to write this first letter to the Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
As new believers, Paul knew that they would have questions about their faith. So he sent Timothy to find out how they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back, he had brought with him many questions that they had come upon for Paul.
Mm.
So in this letter, Paul responds to the Thessalonians, and he congratulates them on their fidelity to the gospel that he had proclaimed while among them, and he urged them to remain strong in their faith. He warned them against sexual immorality, and various
mm-hmm.
forms of self-seeking behavior, all of which are contrary to the spirit of the Christian way of life. But really, the main purpose of Paul's letter was to deal with the problem that developed after Paul left the city, and that was their daily living.
Yes.
Paul renewed with them by going back to the basics of the faith and help them to be able to apply these truths to their own lives. He challenged them to persevere in godly living despite persecution, and in later chapters, he spoke about the second coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He covered a wide spectrum of the essentials that are necessary in the doctrine of Christianity. And all of those things that were shared with the Thessalonians are the basics that we, even in our mature state in Christ, might need to revisit ourselves.
Yeah.
In our life's journey, when we come across times, just like the Thessalonians,
mm-hmm.
we have questions. And
mm-hmm.
we might need that encouragement that
right.
could be done through the revisiting of the basics that Paul spoke about in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
The Thessalonians at that time were experiencing distractions. And I say distractions on purpose because, if I may, Pastor Ann, we are in such a profound series about the dangers of distractions.
Yes.
And
yes.
There is a piece here that I would like to address, the distraction
uh-huh.
that the Thessalonians experienced during this time.
Mm-hmm.
Learned from our own experiences that we encounter distractions all the time. They come to us monthly, weekly, daily.
Yes.
But the purpose of those distractions is to interfere with the delivery of and the process of internalizing the Word of God.
My Lord.
There are four distractions that have been shown to me that the people of Thessalonica experienced. One of them is the distraction of opposition. There were Jews that were upset of the successful spread of the gospel. In the verse, in the early part of the chapter, it says, even after we had suffered before and we were spitefully treated at Philippi, it is evidenced that they were working against their efforts to keep them from spreading the good news about the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
They were purposeful in their opposition of the building of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That it was specific in their physical attack on them. It was specific in them being put in jail. It was specific mm-hmm. them speaking amongst the people to discredit them. Their
mm-hmm.
intent was to create opposition.
Yes.
And make a distraction.
Make a distraction.
I ask, are we distracted in the same way by opposition?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We come against opposition many times. The other question we need to ask ourselves, are we ourselves the opposition?
Mm. At my Lord.
The next distraction is the distraction of confusion that the Thessalonians experience. When the leader is present and before everyone, everyone can all move in one accord.
Mm-hmm.
We receive our information directly from the source.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when that leader leaves and there is no one left behind that has been connected to that leader?
Right.
When Jesus left and ascended to heaven, Peter was still there. He was still amongst the apostles. When Paul left, his
mm-hmm.
absence left a void. The Thessalonians were left to their own vices, but they had
mm-hmm.
no one behind that had long-term training in order to help them, and that caused them confusion.
Mm-hmm.
No on-site facilitator to offer training on the job.
Mm-hmm.
No one to reinforce what they had been told. No
right.
one to troubleshoot when problems, or in this case, any questions that they might have, would come up.
Mm-hmm.
When questions around clarity come, it opens up an opportunity when there's not the place of an answer for distraction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then do they believe? They begin to question themselves. We know what Paul said, but he's not here. Are we sure we heard what we heard? We too experience that distraction of confusion, and we wonder what role we're taking. We need to ask ourselves, are
mm-hmm.
we part of the confusion?
My Lord.
Another distraction that the Thessalonians experienced was the distraction of the community and the culture around them. The city was under the rule of the Roman Empire. The Roman way of life was prominent, and Caesar was the emperor and their leader and their god. Idolatry,
mm-hmm.
their lifestyle. What Paul preached was contrary to the Roman culture and their beliefs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What he spoke about was contrary to also the Jewish belief.
Mm-hmm.
He was speaking to them about living the Christian way of life, which was not a popular way to live. Because as a Christian, or being told that they're now Christian,
mm-hmm.
you put your life in danger.
Right.
So how can they remain focused when a majority of the people around them are living in their community and they are exposed to a culture or lifestyle that is so familiar to them but now is considered unacceptable? How do they do that? This community and their and the culture has now become a distraction.
Mm.
Where do they now live? Where do they now go in order that they can remain focused and not be
distracted?
Mm-hmm. Last distraction is the distraction of misconception. Later in the book, the first Christians accepted the ideas I spoke about before, that the man who died on the cross was the real Messiah, and they were convinced he would be returning to the earth to complete the work that he had begun. But no one told them specifically when he would be returning. They felt certain what Paul spoke about would be occurring during this lifetime of those that were currently members of the Thessalonian church community.
Right.
And this was a misconception.
Mm.
No one who had this misconception asked the question, do you know when he's coming back?
Mm.
Fortunately, they came upon an assumption. Misconceptions come in the form of two ways. They come from our own thoughts, and they come from other people.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, they operated under their own misconception, and it created a distraction.
My Lord.
How many times do we come across people that share information amongst others, and they are operating under their own misconception?
That's right.
We have to ask ourselves, are we also one of those people that carry the information that creates that distraction of misconception?
Mm.
Lack of clarity causes further distraction.
My Lord.
So let me move on. Brothers and sisters, over time, as we walk this journey, sometimes we feel as though our Christian faith can grow stale in some way, that we reach a plateau. Sometimes even like we are grapes that start to wither on a vine.
Mm.
And those moments when we've fallen away from our purpose and we wonder why we aren't flourishing in God's service.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter is a solution for that kind of feeling. It is a solution in that it can help us to focus on growing in our faith and become more mature in our Christian living and give us hope in the midst of suffering and uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
All specific and practical instruction for our specific and individual sanctification can always be applied directly to our current circumstances, whether we are a new or an old believer to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
By clinging to our hope in Christ, we should see some very clear results in our lives.
That means
every Christian should expect to grow in holiness over the course of his or her life.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of setbacks, we should continually be working to move forward. And sometimes that process can involve going back to the basics.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
2,000 years have passed since Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians. And the Roman Empire and the ancient city of Thessalonica have been reduced to dust and rubble. You can even go and buy a ticket and fly to go and tour the ruins.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman gods that were once the object of so much worship and devotion and sacrifice and hope have been relegated to museums and even into Disney movies.
Right.
So much has changed in the world since the Thessalonians came together in the synagogue to hear Paul preach.
Right.
Yet in many ways, very little has changed.
Mm.
Are we different? Are we really so different from the Thessalonians? Mm-hmm. We may not be new to the faith, but don't we need encouragement?
Yes.
Don't we need our leaders, both spiritual and governmental, to have integrity and to be
That's
present?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Don't we need to be cared for, to be loved? Don't
mm-hmm.
we need to be challenged? Don't we need hope in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we need to be reassured? Don't we need correction?
That's right.
Don't we need to be prayed for?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we need to be pushed and prodded into the right way to go? Don't we need peace in our lives? And from the beginning to the end of our life, don't we need God's grace?
Yes.
So just like the Thessalonians, all the more reason that we too need from time to time to go back to the basics and revisit Paul's experience in this letter that he wrote to the Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
It can remind us not only of our own chosen Christian journey, but our responsible as believers to encourage and help others to get to know Christ.
Yes, yes.
So as I head to a close, I would like to look at four pointed things that we can learn from Paul in his response to the Thessalonians that can take us back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, we need to survive the strangleholds. Now, notice I said strangleholds and not strongholds. The definition of the word stranglehold is that it is a force, influence, or action that restricts or suppresses freedom or progress to have complete power over a person or situation. Now, the word in verse 2 speaks specifically to this point, in that Paul's motive for coming to the Thessalonians was considered questionable. So much so that he and Silas were attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the physical attacks, they had to endure the constant governmental force of the Roman Empire. And even from their own people, the Jews, they worked to suppress the message of Jesus as Lord and King.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, we face strangleholds every day.
Yes.
And they come in the forms of people, places, and things.
Mm.
Satan operates in these people, places, and things.
Mm-hmm.
And he will use whatever he can in order to suppress your divine purpose and have complete power over you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Paul wrote, to encourage the Thessalonians, we need to encourage each other through the word and from our testimonies.
Yes.
This is the way that we are able to remain strong in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way that we will be able to survive the strangleholds.
Yes.
Point number two, we need to be sincere in our service. In verses 3 and 4, the word says that his motives were not unclean. Our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, which indicates that he wanted to establish that they were being completely sincere in their service of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul knew the importance of having integrity. Mm. Paul knew it was important that they recognize his integrity. So he wanted to remain true to the word, true to the gospel, and true to the people of God. He understood that this work was about building the kingdom. We also need to make sure that we remain sincere in our contact with people, because we are also working to build the kingdom. It takes a sincere heart to be of service in the kingdom. We need to have a heart for the people of God. Mm-hmm. Our service is not for ourselves. People should never have to question our motives. We need to be able to ask ourselves, who are we really? Are we one person before the people of God and another when we walk away? Are we deceitful in our own exhortation of the word? Is our talk, can people find us authentic in our service? Be sincere in the service for the kingdom. Point number three. We need to specialize in being sensitive to others. In verses 7 and 8, Paul spoke about not being anything special or out of the ordinary, because he is a sinner just like them. He wanted to understand that he was not hiding behind the word, and that he wanted them to understand that he's being fully transparent, because he cares deeply for them. He wanted them to understand that he and Silas wanted nothing from them, and that they genuinely cared for their emotional well-being and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We have to use that same sensitivity when dealing with people. We also have to use a sense of discernment in order to determine when people may be hurting.
That's right.
Even though there are people who may appear that they themselves are all together, they have a hurting heart.
Yes.
The other factor that we must contend with is that spirit of distrust. We live in a very suspicious society. There is a lot of distrust, which can also be considered, Pastor Ann, another distraction.
Oh my God.
Trust in people is a skill, and having trust in man is not easy. It involves exposing yourself and being vulnerable on many different levels. But it is important that we remain open, that we can expose ourselves in order that we can meet the needs of others. But we also have to be careful that we don't get caught up in putting ourselves out there so much that the focus becomes us and not what the hurt or what the lost may need.
Just like Paul,
we aren't anything special. We are sinners just like him. So don't hide behind the word. Specialize being sensitive and caring for God's people. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom.
About the kingdom.
Point number four. We need to stir up the spirit. In verses 10 through 12, Paul challenged the Thessalonians so that they would want to walk worthy of God, or live in a way that would allow them to measure up to having God in their lives. We too have that same challenge. Think about that when something comes upon us and we feel challenged. Mm-hmm. Something deep within us begins to get stirred up.
Yes.
The thing happens when the Holy Spirit is activated in us.
Yes.
The process of sanctification is not an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many times we have to turn the other cheek. Think about how many times we have to forgive those who have wronged us. Think about the many times we have to remind ourselves to be Christ-like.
Mm.
Living a holy life is a challenge.
Mm.
But without the Holy Spirit, we can't live as God would have us to live.
Oh, my.
We all, those of us who believe, should have the same goals as Paul did, which was to strive for the divine approval and to receive our reward at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes,
and in order
yes.
to do that, we need to stir up the Spirit.
Stir up the Spirit.
So, brothers and sisters, as I close, the point is that when people come upon us, they should see a reflection of the kind of life that is available to them that is nowhere else. They should see the grace of Jesus and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit within us.
Yes.
If we aren't able to present that, then we need to go back to the basics and experience things that remind us of the joy of the Lord when we first believed.
To
remember that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our heart, and then it works to empower God's people to walk in a manner that is worthy of God. So how do we do this? We do it by we need to survive the strangleholds, be sincere in our service, specialize in being sensitive to others, and stir up the Holy Spirit. This is the way that we can remain revived on the journey. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And amen.
And amen. Oh, my God, this is, oh, my God, this word is so on time. It is so on time, and I believe for those who are out there in radio land, I believe it's on time for you. It is on time for me, and I believe that it is on time for you as well. And when you was talking about being sincere in our service is so, oh, my God, we really don't think about, we just do things, but we have to be sincere. And doing everything from the heart. And then stir up the Spirit of God in it. It need to be from the Holy Spirit need to be at work in all that we do. Our talents just won't get us there.
Yes, ma'am.
The Holy Spirit need to be there. And when you was talking about the community and culture around us,
that distraction.
Going back to the basic, we have to get into our community and find out who is in our community and what is going on in our community and how we can help in our community.
Yes.
And our community can be the community out and also the community of our church. We need to know or live a life that is pleasing to God and be sincere with people. Because people are hurting, they need help. Even though they may be dealing with things, we cannot continue to be judgmental. We got to get to a place where we go back to the basic, and we began to see that that could be me. So come on and stand in the gap and take care of people and pray for folks when they are going through. Amen, girl, this is old. Minister, this is a, Minister Nichelle, this is a great word, and I just, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Glory to God. It, you know, we don't want to get to a place. operate on, I was going to say that we just don't want to get to a place where we just operate on automatic, you know.
Yeah, on automatic.
Really, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Just doing it. Some things we do just because we have the talent, we have the know-how to do it. But we need the spirit. What you saying, stir up the spirit?
Stir up the spirit, yes, ma'am.
The spirit. And so I want to see if there's others out there that want to comment on this word. If you do, please press 1 on your phone, and we'll bring you live on the air, because this is a great word, and I know this word has touched each and every person that is out there. I know that God has really spoken to your heart as he has spoken to mine, and we have to go back to the basic in a whole lot of things that we do in our life. So in having the hope of Christ's return, we have to have that hope of Christ's return as well. As we go back to the basic, we need to know where we are putting our trust. Amen. So press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air to talk to this woman of God. If you need prayer, we will pray with you. If you have a question, she'll talk to you about it. If you will have a comment, just press 1 on your phone, and we will be live. Okay. I have one in queue, and the first three numbers is 770, and the last four is 5545. You're live.
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hi, how y'all doing? Great show. Thank God for the word. We enjoyed it. Y'all keep on keeping on.
Praise
and y'all, we're on our way back, so y'all continue to pray for us. Love you, and awesome job
y'all
tonight.
Help. All right. Thank you so much, man, for being in. Thank you. God bless.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Praise God for them calling in, and praise God for them on their way back, too.
Yes, we ask for mercies for them. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And Pastor Ann, if I could just make one other point, just to go back to, I want us to make sure that people understand that distractions are, as we've talked about in our service, they are dangerous. And we have to be careful that we don't let these distractions also get in the way and keep us from doing what God would have us to do. Our divine purpose must be the plan. And these distractors that come in our lives in order to turn our focus off of him, they are because they want to make sure, the devil wants to make sure that we do not come to our maturity in Christ. And so we've got to make sure that those distractions don't pull us off and pull us away from what God would want us to do for his people.
Exactly. That is so true. Oh, my goodness, that is so true. And being sensitive to others. And that is, we have got to be sensitive to others. Just because we see a person that may not be like we are, do things the way we do not mean that it is wrong.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that doing is something in a different way. And so we have to be sensitive to that and sensitive to whatever God has asked us to do. This is a great word. We got to go back to the basic.
Thank you so much.
We need to go back to the basic and pick up some things.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And do it the way that he would have us to do it. Amen.
Do it the way he would have us to do it. God would have us to do it. That's exactly right. Thank you so much, Minister Nichelle Ford, for bringing forth this word on tonight, going back to the basics. And we're out of time, so we are going to just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you, we honor you, and we glorify your name, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that those that was on this line and those that may listen to this broadcast at a later date, We pray, Lord God, that this word would penetrate their heart and their mind and their spirit and bring about a change. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, that we will all consider going back to the basic concerning some things that are going on in our lives. So we pray that you will bless this woman of God. We will bless all the listeners tonight. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, and that you will bring our husbands back safely back home. And, God, we give you glory and praise for it in Jesus' name. Next week, the same time, 8 p.m., join us for the Turn on the Light broadcast. All you have to do is dial 917-388-4161, and we will be glad to have you on the line again with us on next week. Have a good night.
Have a good night.